Children, you are dismissed. Friends, would you open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes. Are you there? All right. Let me read a section here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. The NIV reads this way: meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and then hurries back to where it rises again. The wind blows to the south, then it turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place streams come from, there they return again. All things are, NIV, wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. For there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Father, we need you to teach us, and so we ask that you would. This is a living word, and it brings us into a fuller experience of being alive with Christ. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be our present teacher, making Jesus more real in our life today. And so we pray for the anointing of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Friends, I wonder if you have ever said something along the lines of, life is like a whirlwind. It's just flying by. I've said it when people have asked, related to Riss and I, man, we just pass each other coming and going. You ever said things like this? Any of you that would just acknowledge that, man, there are times where life feels like a whirlwind? Great, two of you, three, okay, all right. Well, I have experienced life as a whirlwind, and if you've experienced life as a whirlwind, I have good news for you. Ecclesiastes is a book for you. Because Ecclesiastes is a book of movement. It is a book that moves. And if you're paying attention, you can't help but feel like you're being blown around in the book. This is actually expressed in verse 6. And it helps us to reconcile how to read this book. As we've been going through the wisdom books this year, one of my goals has been just to teach us how to read the thing. Right? So trying to teach you how to read Proverbs. I want to try to teach you how to read Ecclesiastes, or at least a landscape by which to enter into this book. So as is my practice, I sat down and read the book in one sitting. I tried to do this whenever I'm going to preach a series, is just to sit down and read the book in one sitting so that I can kind of get a bird's eye view of what the book says, right? Rather than just picking up a section and going, okay, what does this section say? What's the book say? So I, over the last 10 days, I sat down and read it through in one sitting, and I was reacquainted with the feelings of how Ecclesiastes makes me feel. When I read Ecclesiastes, the way Ecclesiastes makes me feel is I have no idea where it's going, right? We go here, and we go there, and back and forth. I never know quite where I'm supposed to land. Listen to verse 6. The wind blows to the south. It turns to the north. Round and round it goes. It swirls. In other words, one of the ways to read this book is to understand that it is moving you from here to there. It's like trying to fly a kite, except you're the kite. And so the book's blowing you around. And sometimes that's how life feels. So if you felt that way in your life, you can enter into this book and it resonates with your heartbeat, because sometimes you feel like you're just being blown around. You say, this book speaks to one who feels as though they are being blown around. And so when you're being blown around, this book that is full of movement then can speak truth to us. Isn't it good to know that when you feel like you're just being blown around, is to be able to have truth spoken to us in the wind? So, three things I want to share with you. This is good stuff, right? I mean, this is a classic three-point sermon. You guys are so lucky, right? This is classic. This is outside of my comfort zone. I always get a little bit antsy when I just have three main points, but here they are. Point one, everything is hevel. Hevel is the Hebrew word here that is translated, if you're reading the King James Version, vanity. If you're reading the NIV, meaningless. And you can pick up a whole bunch of other translations and get various words. Let me ask you the question. If we land on the translation of meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless, then there's a negative connotation to meaningless, right? If you go, boy, that's meaningless. So if we read it that way, then we read this book that blows us back and forth and says, well, it doesn't matter where the wind blows you or what kind of whirlwind you're in, it doesn't mean anything anyways. And so this would lead us to the Epicurean sort of vantage point that says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I'm not sure that that's the greatest way to live our life. But if everything is meaningless, then what's the point anyways, right? So I'm not sure that I like the translation of hevel as meaningless. Well, if you take the King James Version and you say, well, vanity, vanity, everything is vanity, then vanity, it comes to nothing, right? It's not necessarily meaningless, but it comes to nothing. And so there we kind of have this Stoic idea that says, well, if it doesn't accomplish anything, if it comes to nothing, then what's the point, right? And so I'm not sure I like vanity either. Well, what do we like? The word, quite literally, is a description of a vapor. And so some translators translate it as breath. But vapor, I think, is the best. Do I have any coffee drinkers here? All right, coffee drinkers. Hooray. How about hot tea drinkers? Anybody just heat up hot water, pour some lemon in there? Or is that just when you're sick? No? Yeah, all right. Hey. What happens when you have hot coffee, you pour it into a cup? What do you see? Steam. You see a vapor. A vapor is not something that you can grasp, but it is something that has significance, Right? It tells you something about that which is contained in the cup. Yes? That it is a hot beverage. Yes. And so to say that everything is hevel, if you translate this, I think appropriately, if you translate this as vapor, then the book is consistent in that it's a movement, it's wind that's blowing here and there, and it is a vapor that has significance, but it does not last. So this book that's moving us from here to there, that whatever direction you're in has significance, but it's a significance that passes away. Right? You can't latch onto it. Now this is helpful for us because in the book, the wisdom writers are going to communicate about pleasure. It's going to communicate about wisdom. It's going to communicate about work. And if they are a vapor, then we can understand them as important, significant, while at the same time not having this perspective that says, oh, this is going to change. This is going to change the world. Nothing like this has ever been done before. In the opening chapter here, he says there's nothing new under the sun. What has been done will be done again. And is there anything that we can say, ooh, this has never been done before? Actually, it has been. So there's nothing new under the sun. So in this life that is a vapor that is here and then gone, has significance in its time, and we can then live there well. Point number two, and hopefully by the time we get to the end of this, you'll say, I like this book. Everything is valuable. If it is a vapor, it has significance in its time. And then we come to this place that everything is valuable. Well, how do we know that everything is valuable? The text raises the question. If everything is hevel, verse 3, what does man gain or what is valuable about the way in which he lives, at which he toils under the sun? By the way, if you're going to read the book in one setting, I would encourage you to just underline the word under or the phrase under the sun. It's all over the book. There's significance to this, right? If it's under the sun, means that we can't rise above that, right? And so we live this life under the sun. We don't get to rise above the sun. We don't get to rise above the days. We live our lives under the sun day after day, and living under the sun day after day, this life that is here today and gone tomorrow, how do we live our life as an expression of value, that this life has value? And that's the question of the book, is what value, what gain is there in living this life under the sun? Well, the value comes, or to say it differently, the joy comes in putting life and all of its things in their proper value. It comes in putting things in their proper value. And so this book that's blowing from here to there and back again is wherever the wind has blown you, wherever the whirlwind is that you are in, is learning how to place the proper value in the place that the wind has taken you. Right? And so if it's here today and gone tomorrow, the value is learning how to put things in their proper order wherever the wind has blown you. This is good news for us. So that wherever the wind has blown, and you are in that place, that God teaches us how to put the right values on the right aspects of life, so that the vapor that is my life has value as I put things in their proper order. That's pretty good stuff. Point three, everything is beautiful in its time. This picks up this communication of Ecclesiastes 3, which puts these opposites and says there's a time for this and there's a time for that. Well, there's also a time for this and there's a time for this. And back and forth it goes. Even in that, you can hear the wind blowing, right? And so there's a time, there's a season for this, and there's a season for that. And then we go over here and we come back there. And so this wind that is blowing us throughout this book is giving expression that wherever the wind blows you, this life that you live that's here today and gone tomorrow has value because you're putting things in their appropriate place, that God makes it beautiful in that place, in its time. And God has a way of doing that. This would keep us from rejecting some things and only receiving the things that I want, right? God, I don't want that. I do want this. That's not the way to read Ecclesiastes 3. We don't read Ecclesiastes 3 and say, hey, well, I'd like life, not death. I'd like this and not that. It doesn't read that way. It says there's a time for, and when God puts you in that time, God can make it beautiful. So this life that is a vapor, that's here today and gone tomorrow, is valuable and it's not only valuable, but we can rejoice in it. We can experience joy when we put things in their proper order, we value the right things, and then it's beautiful in the time in which God accomplishes it. Isn't that great? So we read this book not as a book to go, oh man, why did I even get out of bed today? This was pointless. Why did I go to work today? This was dumb. Why did I do that? I was just going to come to nothing. That's not the way to read the book. The way to read the book is to say, wherever the wind blows and you are carried by the wind, is recognize that even right there, that the wind might change and it might take you somewhere else. But while you're there, it will come and it will go. It's a vapor. And that vapor has significance as we value the right things, put things in their right order. And as we put things in their right order, God makes where he has blown us, he makes it beautiful in that time. And you say, this is crazy talk. I mean, is this really what the book is about? Can you prove it? Well, let me try. We see the Spirit come as wind in Acts. Yes? And Paul receives the Spirit. And what we see in Paul is he's blown from here to there and back again. So, Paul, he goes and he is trained. He's blown there. And he's already trained. I mean, he's a brilliant guy. He's already been trained under the best of the best. But he goes in order to be trained anew. Because he was a persecutor of Christians, but now he's one of them. And so he's blown to this place in which God is going to train him anew. And then he's blown to a council in which he has to explain his action. And then he's blown onto his missionary journeys. They go, and they come back, and they go a different way. And then there's a man from Macedonia who calls, And then he's taken outside of the city. He's blown outside of the city by the people of the city. He's beaten there, and he's blown back into the city where he witnesses again. Then he's blown back and forth by this spirit who is a wind that he has received. And he's blown here, and he's blown there. He's blown back, and he's blown forth in order that everything that he does is a result of where the wind blows him. And it's in that place that the vaporousness of his life is not insignificant. It's not meaningless. It's not vanity. It's that it's here and gone. But while I'm here, God has asked me to put things in their proper order. And in putting things in their proper order, he makes where he has blown me beautiful, because it's the time. It's the time God has set. It's the time God has made. And he's blown me here for this. Friends, the whirlwind of your life, there's some of it that's really good. And you would like to say, if I could only grab onto this, if I could only hang on to this. Listen to what Ecclesiastes says. That's a chasing after the wind. You can't grasp it. You can't take the good things and say, you can't. And the bad things that come your way, the things that you go, this is fog, how do I get through this? The wind will blow. And it takes you through good times, and it takes you through bad times. It's not insignificant, friends, that Saul, who became Paul, experiences the winds that result in a shipwreck in order to take him to the place that he always wanted to go. The wind blows here, and the wind blows there. Friends, could we commit ourselves to a life that's blown by the wind? I think this may have been what Paul meant when he said, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us be blown around by the Spirit so that we don't chase after the wind. We don't try to grasp and hang on to the things that we cannot, because this life, it's here and it's gone. But while we're here, as the Spirit pushes us, moves us from one place to another, that it has value and it can be made beautiful. Where does the wind have you today? The wind will move, so you won't be in this place forever. The wind will move. If it's a good place, the wind will move. If it's a bad place, the wind will move. If you're just in a shrug your shoulders place, the wind will move. This is a book of movement. And so we close our time by just saying, Ecclesiastes intends to move us. It intends to move us, and it intends to move us into an experience where we can receive that which God has blown us into as a gift. One of the primary verbs in the book of Ecclesiastes is give. And it's almost exclusively that God gives. So the verb give is almost exclusively throughout the book attached to God. And God is the one who gives good gifts. This is good news. The wind will change. But the Spirit will blow us where it pleases. And in that place, it won't be forever. Like, it'll come and it'll go, right? It's a vapor. Everything is a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. We can't go back. We don't have another try. But in that place where the Spirit takes you, as He orders our lives, He can demonstrate the value of why He has you there, and He can make it beautiful because you are there. So listen to these verses. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 3. By the way, the key verses in the book, and you can write this down, the key verses in the entire book of Ecclesiastes are chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. That's my take, anyways. Some would put that at chapter 12, and I certainly think chapter 12 is there as well. I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that they may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil and all of his work. For these are the gift of God. This is the gift of God. Friends, wherever the Spirit moves us, is we can experience the gift of God to experience and enjoy the place where he takes us. Place where he takes us. Where will God take you this week? I don't know. But I'm convinced of this, that wherever the Spirit takes you this week, he intends for it to be an expression of his value and to make it beautiful in its time. Isn't that good news? May we live such lives. Jesus, I thank you for this group. I thank you for their patience to hear your word. Lord, I also pray that you would energize this word to us, that this week, we have a great opportunity to experience what you have for us, Holy Spirit, that you will move us to places, and in those places, you'll teach us how to order things to their proper value, and that you'll make those beautiful. This is the way that you work. And that we can rejoice and be glad because it's you who is working in it and you've given it to us as a gift. So I agree with Paul. May we keep in step with the Spirit this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?
Pray for us. Jesus, as we go in your name. And we go with your Spirit, who's enlivening us to be more and more like yourself. Jesus be with us this week as we go about the whirlwind of our life. Jesus, I pray that you'd bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us, that you'd lift your countenance upon us and give us your peace. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let me share this with you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in the path of wisdom by his strength. May your lives be beautiful, a beautiful melody to the Lord, full of thankfulness and daily worship. Amen. Friends, on your way out, if you would, please demonstrate your generosity to the Gideon Ministry. Roscoe and JD are at the doors. So, blessings, friends.